Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem. Peace be to you. When Messiah comes to take us home.
Greetings, friends, and hello for another program of Search the Scriptures. We were talking about yesterday the law of our Heavenly Father Yahweh and His Son Yeshua, and particularly dealing with that law, the Sabbath day. And I know for many people that have never heard this before, if you're coming from traditional Christianity, you've always been taught that the Sabbath is Sunday, you know, and that's a whole other story. But we will go over today, like I said, in this program, you're not going to get traditions of men. You're not going to get religion. What you are going to get is the truth of Scripture. We are going to read the Scripture, and we are going to show you exactly what Scripture says on the subject. This broadcast is coming to you live or directly, maybe not live because we're taping it, and it's going to go online and come to you at a different time. But it is being broadcast and taped in Israel. So the law will go forth from Zion, the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And we always tell you at the beginning of every broadcast, we will use the original names of our Father and Son. Yahweh is the name of our Heavenly Father. His name was 7,000 times taken out of the Bible and replaced with generic titles. And our Son, His Son's name, His Hebrew name is Yeshua. So that is his name He is known by here in Israel, our Savior, and that is the name that we will use. But I want to pick up because 28 minutes is not a very long program. I don't know where this is being broadcast in your area. Sometimes if it's being broadcast for an hour, they may put two programs together. But anyway, we do these programs in 28-minute sessions and to get you the much as we can. So we want to get right back into this subject. And we were going into that the Sabbath day, okay, it is a thing. It's not a theory. It's not just some kind of hypothetical situation. It is a real thing. It's the same way that you can say that Monday is Tuesday or Tuesday is Thursday, that Sabbath, Friday sunset to Saturday sunset is the Sabbath day. It has been from creation. We read that in the last program. I don't think I'll go there today, but in Genesis 2, it talks about the very act of creation was not completed until our Heavenly Father rested. So by resting, that completed his work. So the Sabbath is a literal part of creation, and it can't be changed. The same way that the sun, the moon, and the stars can't be changed. You can say, you know something? Now that our Savior died and is resurrected, the sun is no longer the sun. The sun is now going to be a car, you know, or the sun is going to be the moon. No, of course not. The sun will always be the sun. The stars will always be the stars, and the moon will always be the moon. And the Sabbath day will always be from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. We were going in some scriptures in the last program showing, though, that our Heavenly Father's law, which is called the Torah, is forever. It is not done away with. I'm going to go into that more extensively into this program so that we can see some of those things that are written here. But we went in Old Testament and New Testament last time, and really showing you, and I want to start in the book of Deuteronomy here. I want to start in the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. It says, because of this, know that Yahweh your Elohim, Elohim is the Hebrew word for deity, Yahweh your Elohim, your Bible may say, the Lord your God, which is an incorrect translation. I'm reading from the Hebraic Roots Bible, a literal translation. It's a Bible that I actually worked on myself about 2.5 years ago. You can get it online. You can download it for free, or you can write us for a copy. Our website is www.cohyhweh.com. Because of this, know that Yahweh, your Elohim, He is Elohim, the faithful El, keeping the covenant and mercy to those who love Him and to those who keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. And like I was saying in the last broadcast, Yahweh is Elohim of covenants, not religion. We will go over several programs on what a covenant is, what it entails, even about the ancient blood covenant, what's involved with that. But our Heavenly Father did not create religion. When Adam sinned and was cast out of the garden, he did not lose a religion. He lost a kingdom. When Israel came into the Promised Land, the Torah that I'm reading here, the Old Testament, it was their constitution of their kingdom. It had nothing to do with religion. Religion is something that man created to control other men and get their money. It's that simple. And the Heavenly Father in heaven has nothing to do with religion. Religious spirits will cause you problems, and we'll probably do a broadcast on that, on religious spirits to show you. And when Yeshua came, what did he do in Mark 7? He rebuked the Pharisees in the first century for having a religious spirit, for putting more premise on the traditions of men than on the very word of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. So clearly we see that he says, if you keep his commandments, he will stay in covenant with you for 1,000 generations. Wow. Generation can be anywhere from 40 years, 70 years, 100 years. But 1,000, even at 40 years, is 40,000 years. So whatever it is, we haven't passed that much. We haven't passed that much. Let me see if I can go over one more here. Okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy 11, in verse 26. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you hear the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you today, and a curse if you will not hear the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, but will turn aside out of the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. So very, very clearly he puts before us a blessing and a curse. A blessing for obedience to his commandments, and a curse if we break those commandments. We went into the last time, Matthew 5, verse 17, where out of the mouth of our own Savior, he said, I did not come to do away with the Torah, the commandments, or the prophets. I came to magnify, to make larger, literally put under a magnifying glass. He came to show us the spiritual side of it. So clearly our Savior did not do away with our Father's law. And are we commanded to keep these commandments in the new covenant? You better believe it. Let's go to John 14. If you're riding in your car, you'll just have to listen. But if you're at home, you could turn to the book of John, 14th chapter. John 14. And we will go to verse 15. John 14, 15. Look what he says. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, you hear people all over the place talking about their love. You know, they say Jesus. We use this Hebrew name, Yeshua. But if you really love our Savior, the one who's written here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what does he say what that love is? That love is obedience. You know, many of you out there may have children that are listening to this. It's the same kind of thing. If your children were constantly disobeying you, constantly not doing their chores, constantly not doing what you asked them to do, and they said, but I love you, Dad. I love you anyway. Is that love? No. If you love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, it is that one who loves me. And the one that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I shall love him and will reveal myself to him. Who is he being revealed to? The ones who are keeping his commandments. Verse 23. Yeshua answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father shall love him. And we will come to him and will make a dwelling place with him. The one who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but out from the Father who sent me. Yeshua very clearly, John 6, John 8, John 10, said he can do nothing of himself. But as the Father gives to him, he does. And this crazy concept that came up that somehow the Father has one set of commandments and Yeshua has his own commandments is absolutely false. You do not see that in Scripture whatsoever. John 15, 9 and 10. John 15. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will continue in my love as I have kept my Father's commandments and continue in his love. Very, very clear. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Very, very clear that Yeshua clearly told them that if they wanted to be his disciples, they had to keep his commandments. It's all over the new covenant. You know, even the Apostle Paul said, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing in 1 Corinthians 7:19, but the keeping of Yahweh's commandments. Romans 2:13, we are to be doers of the Torah of the law, not simply hearers of the law. So very clearly, what is commanded of us, we went over last week, Ecclesiastes 12:13, keeping the commandments is the duty of every man. There are 10 commandments, and it is our duty to fulfill our character, to fulfill our spiritual life, by trying as best as possible to be obedient. And one of those commandments is the Sabbath day. Why is the Sabbath day so important? Because the Sabbath day clearly shows who the Creator is, was, is, and is to come. You know, if ever there was a time why the Sabbath day is important, it's now. Because when you look out there today, and you have all of this interfaith things going on, and you have the Council of World Churches, and all of these evil Masonic lodges and secret societies trying to bring in a one-world government and a one-world religion, how are they trying to do it? How are they trying to unite everybody? By saying that Yahweh, the Elohim of the Bible, is the same as Vishnu, the Elohim of the Hindus, and Allah, the Elohim of the God of the Muslims, trying to say it's all the same person. But yet, it isn't. Because to begin with, the Bible is the only book in the world where our Heavenly Father Yahweh speaks in the first person. I, Yahweh, say this. I, Yahweh, say that. The Quran doesn't do that. The Bhagavad Gita doesn't do that. Any of these other religious books do not do that. Only the Bible does that. And clearly, our Heavenly Father Yahweh is not one of these pagan deities. We know that. Isaiah 42, I am Yahweh, that is my name. I will not give my glory to graven images. He keeps that to himself. So by honoring the seventh day, by honoring the Sabbath, what we're doing is we're honoring him as creator of the world. Because we read it in Genesis 1:31. Everything the Father created at creation week was good. And in honor of that, he rested and created the Sabbath day so that we can give him that honor as his children every week. And last week, if you didn't hear the broadcast the last time, I went over Exodus 31:12-19, where he says it is the duty of his children to guard and protect that Sabbath day and to share with other people that are coming into covenant relationship. It's a never-ending covenant. Because if we forget the Sabbath day, the next step is you're going to forget who the Creator is. And the next step is where we are today, religious confusion. Revelation 12:9, Satan has deceived the whole world. And that's what we're looking to get away with. We're looking to get away from, I should say, religious confusion. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. We went there last week, but a very important verse there, because some people will say that the Sabbath day is the only commandment that's not reiterated in the New Covenant. That's absolutely false. As a matter of fact, there's more talked about the Sabbath day than any other commandment in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. There are more miracles that Yeshua did on the Sabbath day than any other day of the week. But Hebrews 4, talking about the Sabbath day in verse 8, it says, "For if Joshua the son of Nun had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken about another day. It is therefore the duty of the people of Yahweh to keep the Sabbath. For he who has entered into his rest, become a believer, has also ceased from his own works, as Yahweh did from his. Therefore, let us strive to enter into that rest, and not anyone fall in the same example of disobedience." So we see the Sabbath is twofold. On one end, the Sabbath is a physical rest that we do every seventh day from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. But it's also a spiritual rest from this world, from sin. So there is so much involved with the Sabbath day. There are so many blessings that come from being obedient to our Heavenly Father on this day. And you know something? I've known many people that have lost their jobs because they refused to work on the Sabbath, refused to buy and sell on the Sabbath. But in every single case that I know of, they got a better job. They were blessed for their obedience. They were absolutely blessed by it. Well, let's go to the book of Acts, because what we're going to see here in the book of Acts is that the apostles kept the Sabbath day. We know Yeshua in Mark 2 called himself master of the Sabbath. So is he the master of nothing if it's done away with? Of course not. He is the master of the Sabbath day because he is the creator of everything. And when we rest and we honor him from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, then we are honoring him as the creator, as the master of the Sabbath. In Acts 13, and let's see, we're going to go to verse 14. It says, "But going through from Perga, they came to Antioch Pisidia, and going into the synagogue on the day of the Sabbath, they sat down." You have more references to Paul keeping the Sabbath than anything else. And like I said, you can go from Genesis to Revelation. You will not find one scripture in all of the Holy Bible that ever says the Sabbath was ever changed from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. Absolutely not. Verse 27. "For those dwellers of Jerusalem and their leaders understood him not, nor the books of the prophets which are read every week." Every Sabbath day they read. "Rather, they condemned him and fulfilled everything that is written." We drop down to verse 42. "But the Jews, having gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words be spoken to them on the next Sabbath." Verse 44. "And in the coming Sabbath, almost the whole city was gathered to hear the word of Yahweh." Now, this is a very telling scripture, you know, because look, some people might say, well, hey, the reason why Paul went into the synagogue on the Sabbath was that's what Jewish people did. They went in the synagogue on the Sabbath. But what's interesting here is that it's not the Jews that were in the synagogue on the Sabbath here. It was the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles, when they left the synagogue that Sabbath, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city of Gentiles came to hear the word of Yahweh. Now here's my question. If the early believers were worshiping on Sunday, why would they wait a whole week to finish to hear Paul? Why wouldn't they say, you know what? Sabbath's over. Let's come tomorrow on Sunday and we'll finish this topic. Because let me tell you, friends, there is nothing in your Bible, there's nothing in the book of Acts or anywhere else in your Bible that ever says the believers were keeping Sunday. Sunday is the day of Baal. It's Sunday for the sun god, for Baal. And only pagans worshiped on Sunday. You will never see anywhere in your Bible where Sunday is ever commanded. You will never see anywhere in your Bible that you're ever told that. And I always say this, okay? If we're logical, everyone knows in the Old Testament there's no dispute on when the Sabbath was. Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, that's the Sabbath day. So if that was changed, okay, logically ask yourself, if 1 week we're coming and we're meeting on Saturday, and then the following week we're meeting on Sunday, when did that change happen? There had to be a change. If it was changed, there had to be a time that it was changed. It didn't just, it's not like daylight savings time. You know, they do it at 1 o'clock in the morning when you're sleeping. If there was a change from Saturday to Sunday, you have to pinpoint it. Ask your pastor. Ask, when is it? You know what some people say? Well, it was when Yeshua died. Yeah. It was when he died. When he died, that's when the Sabbath would change. Well, did it? Okay, let's go to Luke 23, and let's see when he died, and see what happened. Luke 23, and verse 56. Now, this is after he was crucified, after they put him in the grave, and returning, now he's already dead, the women were returning, they prepared spices and perfume, and indeed, they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Wow. So, it wasn't after he died. Well, it was after the resurrection. It was after the resurrection, right? Well, we just read here in Acts. After the resurrection, they're still keeping Saturday. Let's go back to Acts 13. You know, let's go back to Acts 13 here. Verse 44. "And in the coming Sabbath, almost the whole city came to hear." It wasn't then. Acts 15:21. Is it then? "For in every city from ancient generations, Moses has those proclaiming him having been read in the synagogues on every Sabbath." Wasn't then, wasn't Acts 15. How about Acts 16:13? Acts 16:13. "And we went out on the day of the Sabbath without the gate of the city to the bank of the river." No, wasn't then, wasn't Acts 16. How about Acts 17? "And according to Paul's custom," this is what Paul did every week. Maybe it's this, maybe it's here, because this is his custom, and his custom had to be Sunday keeping, right? Let's see. "And according to Paul's custom, he went into them and reasoned with them from the scriptures on three Sabbaths." wasn't then. Paul's custom wasn't keeping Sunday. Paul's custom was the Sabbath day. Keeping the Sabbath day. Acts 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue on every Sabbath, persuading both Jews and the pagans. Wow, that is pretty conclusive. That is pretty heavy. Alrighty, let's go to one other scripture in Acts, because sometimes people say Acts 20, Acts 20. If anyone brings you to Acts 20, please know I am reading from the Hebraic Roots Bible, a literal translation. This comes from the original Aramaic and also with the Greek scriptures. But Acts 20 and verse 7 in the original form says this: "And on one of the Sabbaths, the disciples having been assembled to fellowship, to a fellowship meal together." And on one of the Sabbaths, it is not on the first day of the week. That is a mistranslation. And on one of the Sabbaths, and this is talking about through unleavened bread and that other stuff, but we have to wait for another time for that. So let's go to a couple other scriptures quickly because we're running out of time. Like I said, it's amazing how quick a half an hour can go when we're together going over scriptures. But what about Colossians? Because people will say, ooh, Colossians, right? We don't want to leave any stone unturned. And again, we have books on this. We have tapes that cover every single scripture. Go to our website, www.coyhwh.com, and you can get everything. Absolutely a gift to you. No cost involved. Colossians 2. Colossians 2. And verse 14. "And by his mandates he canceled the legal contract of our sins, which existed against us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the torture stake." People will say, the law is nailed to the cross! No. What was nailed to the cross? The legal contract of our sins. The Greek word is kurographon. It literally is a legal contract for sinning. You know, people that don't believe in Yahweh, there's still going to be a judgment day. In every one of us that has sinned, there's a legal contract that payment has to be made for that sin. So Yeshua did not take the law to the torture stake, to the tree of impalement. What did he take? He took the legal contract of our sins. "And by putting off his mortal body, he exposed the powers of evil and through his person put them to open shame." So here it is now. Because of this, because he did this, because he did this for us who accept this, because he is our master and our savior. Verse 16, "Therefore do not let anyone outside the body, don't let any non-believer judge among you about what you're eating or drinking or how you keep the feast days or the new moon or the Sabbath day." And you know something? When you stop keeping Sunday and you start observing Yahweh's Sabbath day from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, and I can tell you this, as someone who's been doing this for almost 30 years, you will be judged. You will not be judged by fellow covenant Sabbath keepers. You will be judged by Sunday keepers. I've had people tell me I couldn't believe it. People that were friends in my church for 20 years didn't even want to talk to me anymore. Simply because of that. Because look what it says. Don't let anyone judge you and how you keep your Sabbath day or your feast days. Verse 17. "Which remain shadows of coming things, but the body of Messiah." Don't let outsiders, don't let non-believers, don't let non-covenant people judge you how you keep the Sabbath day, because they're shadows of coming things. You know, the earth was created in 6 days, and the seventh day was the Sabbath. And the Father gave Satan 6,000 years to rule this world, which we're just about up. And then the seventh millennium, the 7,000 year, is the millennial rest. So 6 days, and then the Sabbath, 6,000 years, and then the 1,000-year millennial. Totally works together. So he's saying it's a shadow of what's coming. So let the body of Messiah judge you, not these other people. So clearly Colossians 2 is supporting the Sabbath day. It's supporting the keeping of the Sabbath day and not at all going against it. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. And he is pretty strong with this. Look what he says, 1 John 2. "And by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. The one saying, 'I have known him,' and not keeping his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in this one the love of Yahweh has been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one claiming to rest in him, some people say, every day is the Sabbath. Our rest is in Yeshua. The one claiming to rest in him ought to walk himself even as he walked. Yeshua was on this earth for almost 33 years. He honored his Father as creator of the universe every seventh day. He never broke the Sabbath day. He was accused by the Pharisees because he was picking grain, which is not against the Sabbath day. But he never broke the Sabbath day. And if you are believers in him, then you ought to walk exactly like he walked. If you love him, keep his commandments. And this we know him. If we keep the one saying he knows him and not keeping his commandments is a liar. And that's not me. That's not Don Esposito judging anybody. That's the word of Yahweh. The word of Yahweh that's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting to the heart asunder. And hopefully as you're hearing this, it's cutting to your heart saying, wow, I need to repent. I need to repent and I need to turn back and get the blessing. Like we read in Psalm 19, there is great reward in keeping these commandments and get the blessing back for keeping them. Let me go to Isaiah real quick. The book of Isaiah. We're almost running out of time. Isaiah 56. And we will see what it says here. Isaiah 56. About the Sabbath day. So says Yahweh, keep my justice and do righteousness, for Yeshua is coming and my righteousness will be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold of it, keeping the Sabbath from defiling it, and keeping his hand from doing every evil. And do not let the son of the foreigner, some people say, I'm a Gentile, I don't have to do that. Do not let the son of the foreigner, the Gentile, who joins himself to Yahweh say, surely Yahweh separates me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I've become a dry tree. Wow. Wow. Verse 6. And the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh and to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and takes hold of my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mount and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifices shall be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Exactly what our Messiah said when he walked the earth. Wow. When he threw the people out for exchanging the money changers in the temple. So we see the Gentile is not exempt from that. Numbers 15, there's one law in the land for the Jew and there's one law for the Gentile. One law together. The Father is not a respecter of persons. The Sabbath is not a burden. The Sabbath is a blessing. It's a blessing that every seventh day you can rest just like your animals need rest. You need rest too. And that you can honor your Father as creator of the universe every seventh day. So I pray that this has blessed you. I pray that it's been a blessing, this program. And you can write us. P.O. Box 832, Carteret, New Jersey, C-A-R-T-E-R-E-T, 07008. All our mail is forwarded us here in Israel. This is coming to you from Israel. This is where this is being broadcast. So may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you. May his countenance lift you up. And may his peace be upon you. And until next time, friends, I pray you remember www.cohwh.com. Shalom from Jerusalem.